A wife's word of warning. And we have it there in the verse 19. In the portion of scripture we read in Matthew 27. Verse 19. When he, this Pilate, was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this night or this day in a dream because of him. A wife's word of warning. There it is. Pilate's wife rises up before us out of a single sentence here in Matthew's Gospel. Her name is not to be found in any of the other three Gospels. Simply referred to as Pilate's wife. We see the governor's wife only for a moment. We, as it were, hear her only for a moment. But in the space of that short moment of time, she leaves her footprint on the page of Matthew's Gospel. It means that as long as Matthew's Gospel is read, Pilate's wife will be mentioned, albeit briefly. And what Pilate's wife said that Passover morning will be held in remembrance and to the honor of her name. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. No, her name is not given. But even if it was, the words she spoke would be remembered long after her name would be forgotten. The words that came from the mouth of Job's wife, you recall, were words which would have been better never spoken. For she said to her husband, Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. Job 2 and 9. But what a contrast in the words uttered by Pilate's wife to her husband. And what the two wives said tell us something about each of them. What Job's wife said tells us something about her. And here we have what Pilate's wife said. The only recording of anything she said in all of Scripture is found here before us tonight in Matthew 27. It's Pilate's wife. And what she had to say to her husband that concerns us tonight. A wife's word of warning. That's where we begin. I want first of all to consider the wife of Pilate. The wife of Pilate. The wise man Solomon informs us, Whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favour of the Lord. Proverbs 18:22. and whatever else Pilate's wife was, she certainly proved her worth when she sent that message to her husband as he sat upon the judgment seat. When you look at those words of Pilate's wife, I want you to notice her bravery. Her bravery. They couldn't wait to destroy him. They couldn't wait to see him put to death. The scribes, Pharisees, elders of the people. We read there in the verse 1 of the chapter 27, when the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. So they bound him like a helpless lamb and delivered him to Pontius Pilate the governor, verse 2. There was only one decision that the chief priests and elders of the people wanted to hear. Only one decision they wanted to hear coming from the lips of Pilate: guilty as charged. And they wanted the sentence of death to be passed upon him. But Pilate knew that the one who stood before him was an innocent man. That's what he said. You turn over to John's Gospel, chapter 18, verse 38. Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. But he didn't just say it the once. Look at chapter 19 of John, verse 4. Pilate therefore went forth again, and said unto them, behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him. They didn't finish there. Look at verse 6. When the chief priests therefore and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, crucify him, crucify him. Notice the word him is in italics. And so really what was taking place? They were chanting the word, crucify, crucify, crucify. Pilate saith unto them, take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. Three times, Pilate said, I find no fault in him. So what was he to do? Could he crucify an innocent man? And then he asked himself, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? But ringing in his ears were the words that had come from his wife. Have thou nothing to do with that just man? And again, set over against the words of his wife, he could hear the crowd, the mob, the chief priests, and the elders of the people cry out, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. But the wife said, have thou nothing to do with him? When everyone around him was demanding the sentence of death to be passed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, his wife bravely, here's her bravery, his wife bravely called upon him to have nothing to do with the Lord. Do not raise your hand against him. Do not raise your voice against him. He must be declared innocent. Well, this went completely against the wave of hatred and malice and cries of the people, crucify, crucify, crucify. Yet his wife bravely stated, have thou nothing to do with that just man. There's her bravery. We notice also her boldness. Look at the words of Pilate's wife regarding this dream that she had. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in the dream because of him. See how boldly and bravely she declared the Lord Jesus Christ as a just man. The word just is the word righteous. Have thou nothing to do with that righteous man? She was bold in the face of so much opposition, and the dear Lord stood there alone in the judgment hall before Pilate. And there was no one, but no one to defend him. No one. There was no one to speak up for him. No one but Pilate's wife. Have thou nothing to do with that just man? He had been accused of being a blasphemer. You go back to the chapter 26. Now we read in verse 65. Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, he has spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now ye have heard his blasphemy. What think ye? They answered and said, he is guilty of death. Where was Peter's voice when they cried out that he's guilty of blasphemy? Where was Peter's voice? Silent. Where were the voices of James and John and Andrew, those who made up the inner circle of the disciples? They were all silent. Not a word was heard in the Lord's defense. No one stood up for him. No one defended him. No one declared him innocent of all charges. No one. No one but the wife of Pilate, saying, for all there in the judgment hall to hear, for all to hear, have thou nothing to do with that just man, that righteous man? Pilate's wife was the only one to stand up for the Lord. Whatever the scribes and Pharisees, chief priests of the people, said about him, Pilate's wife said, in my dream I saw a just man. I saw a righteous man. And husband, he's standing before you today. Have thou nothing to do with that righteous man? Here is this woman, married to a cruel, murderous man, and she's defending the prisoner who stood that day before him. She is defending the prisoner, Christ. He's a just man. He's a righteous man. And there he stood, a reproach of men and despised of the people. And they that see me, the Lord says, said, laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head. Psalm 22:7. There he stands, the solitary figure, as a sparrow, as lonely on the housetop. The religious dogs have compassed him. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed him. And only one voice is heard in his defense. One voice. That morning, in the judgment hall of Pilate, one voice was heard. It was the voice of Pilate's wife. The voice of a woman. The voice of a wife. The voice of Pilate's wife. Pilate the governor. The man who would soon pass sentence on the one who's the king of the Jews. Pilate's wife was the only person to stand up, as it were, for the Lord. You have her bravery. You have her boldness. We notice also her bond. Whatever type of a man Pilate was, a wicked, murderous, ungodly individual, it appears from the words that his wife uttered, it appeared from her words that she loved her husband. Why else would she say, have thou nothing to do with that just man? Why else would she warn him, do not raise a hand against him, he's a just man? Why else? Well, she could see that Christ was a just man. But she was warning her husband. Why? Because she loved him. Whatever he was, whatever he had done, whatever he had been, these words that she uttered indicate that she loved him. No doubt Pilate was a man who was hated by many, but the message he received that morning from his wife showed that someone loved him. While others would have hated Pilate, somebody loved him. And that was his own wife. Faithful, devoted, courageous. She would, if possible, keep him back from the great transgression of making the worst decision in his life, passing sentence against Christ. She didn't want him to do that. We quote Solomon again, Proverbs 31:12, regarding the love of a wife for her husband. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. That dear woman, Pilate's wife, sought to do her husband good that day and keep him back from doing evil. No one did more good to Pilate that morning than his own wife. For she said, have thou nothing to do with that just man. Lay not a hand upon him. Point not a finger at him. Choose your words carefully, Pilate. Choose your words carefully, husband, when you come to pass your verdict. Is it because we love them that we tell those who are nearest and dearest to us, do the right thing regarding the Lord Jesus Christ? that we exhort them to receive Christ. We tell them to ask the Lord to save them. Why do we tell them? Because we love them. Again, we think of Pilate, and no one would have had any love for Pilate that day as he sat in this judgment seat, but his wife loved him. And here she tells him, "Have thou nothing to do with that just man, that righteous man?" And regarding those whom we love, we cannot be silent, but exhort those whom we love to do the right thing, make the right decision, and make Christ their Savior. I don't know where Pilate's wife will stand on the day of judgment. God will divide the sheep from the goats. God will divide the saved from the unsaved. God will divide the righteous from the unrighteous. I don't know where Pilate's wife will stand that day. But Pilate will not be able to say, "My wife didn't tell me. My wife didn't warn me." He'll not be able to say that. Because she did warn him, as he sat in the judgment seat and Christ stood before him. We've considered some things about the wife of Pilate. I want to look then, secondly, at the warning for Pilate. In her message to her husband, Pilate told him about a dream that she had. She said, "Have I not to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him." Obviously, she had remembered what she dreamed, what she dreamt. I don't know about you, but I know when I have a dream, half an hour after I wake, I can't remember what I dreamt. It just evaporates. But this woman remembered her dream. It had left its mark upon her. And she came and got the message to her husband about the dream that she had. And as a result of that dream, "Have thou nothing to do with that just man?" I want you to notice, regarding this warning, notice the timing. The time. It's interesting to note when Pilate's wife had this dream and when she told it to her husband. Look how verse 19 begins. "When he was set down in the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, 'Have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him.'" Look at the timing. He just took up the position on the judgment seat, and before he spoke a word, he received a word from his wife. There's the timing. Before he made a judgment or passed sentence upon the Lord Jesus who was standing before him, he received a word from his wife. A very timely word was delivered unto him from his wife. When you look at that, what do you see there? I see the providence of God. I see the grace of God. Yes, even in relation to the life of Pilate. He would soon be making a decision. he would soon be declaring Christ innocent or guilty. He would soon be saying Barabbas or Christ. But before all of that, his wife sent word to him. His wife, and just told him what to do. He had said, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" His wife had already told him, before he uttered those words, "What shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ?" His wife had already told him, "Have thou nothing to do with that just man?" For this man, Pilate, to pass sentence against the Lord Jesus, this man must trample the words of a loving and loyal wife under his feet if he decided against Christ. So the words from his wife entered his ears just in time. He was about to make a decision that would determine his eternity. This would be his decision about where he would be in eternity. Would he accept Christ? Would he accept the words his wife said? Or would he reject them completely and, as it were, trample them underfoot? God caused his wife to have this dream and prompted her to tell her husband. She must tell him, "Have thou nothing to do with that just man?" It was, as it were, a barrier in front of, put before Pilate, the words of his wife. What would he do with those words? Let him reject the words of his wife, and his condemnation would be greater. He wouldn't be able to say, "I wasn't warned, I wasn't told, I wasn't advised." Oh, he was advised, all right. It was more than advice. When she said, "Have thou nothing to do with that just man," and those words came to him before he made his final decision, there's the timing. As well as the time, you have the terror. We're not told exactly what she dreamt about. We'd all love to know. But we're certainly told that the Lord Jesus was in that dream. Her husband was in that dream. And she said, "I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him, because of Christ." She said she'd suffered. That word suffered, the word means endured. I've endured many things. The word also means experienced. It was as if she was right there in the dream and she experienced what she dreamt. And that tells us she felt what she was dreaming. It affected her deeply. And she must tell her husband. She must get the word to her husband. What was it that she endured? What was it that she experienced? What she dreamed. What she suffered in that dream was because of him, because of Christ. It's interesting. When you look at those words, suffered many things. You find that phrase repeated again and again in the Gospels. And almost exclusively in the Gospels, suffered many things. Those words relate to the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn please to Matthew 16. Matthew 16. There we read in verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Go to Mark chapter 9, verse 12. And he answered and told them, Elias verily cometh first, and restoreth all things, and how it is written of the Son of Man that he must suffer many things, and be set at naught. Go over to Luke's Gospel, the chapter 17. And there in Luke's Gospel 17, we find the same words. Luke 17, verse 25. But remember, 17, verse 25. But first must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. Those words are repeated throughout the four Gospels, and I've said almost exclusively they are there in relation to the Lord Jesus and what he was to suffer. I wonder, is that what Pilate's wife dreamt about? She said, I have suffered many things in a dream this day because of him. Is that what she was dreaming? Did she dream about the many things that Christ would suffer? And did she see her husband play his part in afflicting the Lord Jesus and the many things that he suffered? Is that why she cried out that morning, have thou nothing to do? Did you see her husband? Did you see her husband in her dream playing his part in afflicting the Lord Jesus and suffering when he suffered many things? Husband, do what's right. He's a just man. Have thou nothing to do with him? If you only saw what I saw in my dream, you'd want to do what's right by him, because he is a just man. Look at the time and the terror. He suffered many things, and then you have the telling. What she dreamt that day, she felt compelled, I must tell my husband, I must warn him to have nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. When you think of it, Pilate could not have had a better person to sign this warning in his ears. And his own wife, she wasn't a stranger to him. She was his wife, his companion, his partner in life. He could not have had a better person to warn him and tell him, "Have thou nothing to do with that just man?" Surely if Pilate would listen to anybody, he would listen to his wife. He would know she was sincere. He would know by these words it was evidence that she loved him. And if he would listen to anybody, surely he would listen to his wife. He would give attention. He would give heed to the warning that came from his wife. How often have those words of warning been told over and over by wives to their husband, by husbands to their wives, by parents to their children, over and over. They have told those whom they love, choose Christ. Raise not a hand against them, but rather cry out, "Lord, save me." Rather embrace him. Take him at his word. Accept his invitation. Come unto me. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. As I said, of all the people to speak to Pilate, you would think he would have listened to his wife. Listen to the one who was nearest and dearest to him. So it is with us. Those whom we love and we tell them about Christ, warn them about rejecting Christ, you think they would listen to the people they know love them the most. Those who prayed over them, those who wept over them, those who pleaded with them, those who exhorted them, you think they would listen to them? You think Pilate would listen to his wife? And so we see the wife of Pilate, the warning for Pilate. Finally, you have the way of Pilate. So his wife had spoken. She had given him the warning. What would he do now with Jesus, which is called Christ? What would he do? Well, I see his deafness. His wife has spoken, but no word is heard coming from the lips of Pilate. You notice that? It was as if he didn't hear her. It was as if he didn't want to hear. Look there at the words again. She said, "Have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. And the governor answered and said unto them, you do not read that he answered and said unto his wife. He turned a deaf ear to what his wife told him. He did what many have done. Turned a deaf ear to the pleading of those who want to see them saved. Turned a deaf ear to the preaching of the gospel. Oh yes. Pilate heard the voices of the chief priests and the elders, and he answered them. He responded to them. We've just read that. The governor answered and said unto them, whither of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. We don't read of him answering and saying unto his wife. There was no response from Pilate to what his wife had told him. He answered the cry of the mob, but he had nothing to say to his wife. He turned a deaf ear. She had said, have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. No, he didn't answer his wife. But he did answer the chief priests and the elders of the people. His wife had suffered many things, and she told him. And you would think he would have had some sympathy for her. But none. None. The burden they carry, the tears they shed, the anxiety they suffer for those that they love and they want to see saved. And yet, turn a deaf ear. Well, it appears that Pilate did not give a second thought to what his wife said unto him and faithfully declared unto him. He turned a deaf ear to his wife and what she said. But I'll tell you something. Pilate has heard those words ever since. Those words have been repeated over and over and over and over again in his heart and in his mind. In that place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched, the worm is the memory. Where the worm dieth not, where the memory dieth not. And I tell you, for over 2,000 years, Pilate has heard those words that came from the lips of his wife over and over and over and over again. And there's nothing but nothing he can do about it now. And he's still there. You have his deafness. You have his decision. He tried to avoid making a decision, of course. Put it off for a more convenient season. He tried to avoid making a decision, for we read in verse 21, the governor answered and said unto them, whither of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate was hoping that the people would say, oh, release Christ and put Barabbas to death. He wanted them to make the decision. Instead of crying for the release of Christ, the Son of God, they cried, Barabbas. Next he said, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? You know, we could address Pilate tonight. If we could speak directly to Pilate, we would call out to him, Pilate, your wife has told you what to do. You can sit there and say, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? We could say, Pilate, your wife has already told you. You've heard her word. You've received a warning. You know what to do, because your wife has told you. So what did he do? He trampled underfoot her words. He trampled underfoot the words of the woman he married. He put no value to those words at all. He dismissed the warning that came from the best friend he had, his own wife. And he made his decision public. We read in verse 24, when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. You take care of it. Amazing, isn't it? He had already said that, we noted three times over, I find no fault in this man. And here, when he made his decision, he acknowledged he's a just man. He washed his hands of the whole affair. I tell you something, the water of a thousand seas would never wash away the crime that Pilate committed that day. He's a just man, and he knew it. A righteous man, and his wife told him. But that mattered not to Pilate. He would rather obey the crowd as obey his wife. He thought more of his position than he did of his partner. He valued more the cry of the crowd, let him be crucified, and the words of his own life, have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. The deafness, the decision, his doom. His doom. That day in the judgment hall was his last warning. That day in the judgment hall was his right, was the last opportunity to do right. Pilate's wife said to her husband, have thou nothing to do with that just man? You know something? That just man has nothing to do with Pilate now. He's in a lost, Christless eternity. He could wash and wash and wash his hands. An ocean of water would never wash away his guilt and the crime and the sin that he committed that day. A wife's word of warning. And he counted it as nothing. May the Lord bless his word over our hearts this evening. Let's bow in prayer. Oh, our dear Lord, we pray again, write thy word upon our hearts. Have us, Lord, ever to be as faithful as Pilate's wife was that day in the judgment hall. Help us to tell and to warn others. Oh Lord, what a sober lesson this is. And how the words of Pilate's wife, he just dismissed them. Turned a deaf ear to them went on his own way. Now he's in a lost eternity. Because he rejected Christ, rejected a just and righteous man, treated him as a common criminal. Lord, bless the word to hearts this evening and use it to the glory of thy name and to the salvation of souls. Be with us, Lord, now as we part the one from the other, from the Lord's house. Grant us all traveling mercy. Keep us, Lord, safe and well throughout this week, we pray. Remembering those, Lord, that are suffering and laid aside, and those who have lost loved ones, and all our frontline workers, bless them. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.